Mr. Wrestling 1 and Mr. Wrestling 2 against the Road Warriors. And the plot, it was always the same. Man would be getting the night beat out of him. I mean, elbows being thrown, and he was just beaten down, and he's going to his partner. So all he could just make the tag, and sometimes the other opponent, two-on-one, would just be beating him down and beating him down and beating him down. And you're just, and the fans are screaming, and everybody's just trying to get this guy to make, because all he has to do is make the tag, and finally he makes the tag. And his partner's always the same. His partner goes in there and, like a hurricane, destroys the two opponents, sends them out of the ring. Victory is declared. All is right in the world. I say that because today, in this congregation and online, I know that we have some people that are feeling like they're beaten down, that you're wrestling with something, that you're fighting with something. And I hope by the end of the message that you can see, really, if you'll just make the tag, that Jesus will fight battles that you aren't meant to fight. So let's go to John chapter 11. It's a wonderful piece of scripture. We've been parked here for a couple of weeks now. When we first met Lazarus, we found out that, y'all remember his condition? He was sick. Right. Good job. You know, three times in three verses. It's really reiterated that he's sick. Jesus finds out he's sick, and Jesus says, hey, this is a sickness that's not going to end in death, and then he sits down and he doesn't move. And then we know the end of the story, that Lazarus actually does die, so it's a little bit confusing, but Jesus never said Lazarus wouldn't die. He just says the story's not going to end in death. But if you're sitting there at the moment, and Jesus says, it's not going to end in death, and oh, by the way, this is going to be for the glory of God, and he didn't do anything. And then the last sermon, we talked about how Jesus said, okay, let's go for a while. And the disciples didn't want to go. As a matter of fact, they said, why do thou want to go? And we kind of blew up that myth that following Jesus is easy. Because they were in Jerusalem, they're about to go back to Bethany, and we found out over in Bethany, Judea, people throw rocks at you, and if they throw rocks at Jesus and they miss, then you hit the disciples. And that also blew up the myth that the closer you are to Jesus in your walk, the easier it gets. So we blew up a couple of myths because nobody was closer to Jesus than the disciples at this time, and they had a trouble taking that next step. And sometimes taking the next step is a very difficult choice. And we blew up that myth. Because taking that next step in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual journey, sometimes it's fraught with fear and it's difficult. And that does not make you a bad person. It makes you human. And so we all want to be closer to Jesus. We all want to take those next steps. And so we're going to pick up the story here because eventually Lazarus does die. But today's story is going to be super interesting because we talked about making the tag. And it starts out with a verse, and you can't even make this stuff up. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he, that's Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Man, I've been late before. I don't like being late. But the Lord, he didn't even make it to the funeral. I mean, the Lord was so late that he didn't even make it for casserole. Because remember, Judea is in southern Israel, and in the south, we serve casseroles. He didn't even make it for the food. And yeah, in my simplistic world, and I kind of tend to break people down, but you know, there's two kinds of people. There's people that are on time, and then there's late people. For me, I like to be an on time. I'm one of those people. Y'all know what am I touching some hot buttons here? Y'all sitting next to one of those people that are like, you know, you want to be on time. Because for me, if I got to be somewhere at 11 o'clock, 10:50 is late. Right? Amen. Y'all can shout out amen anytime you want to. Yeah, because I want to be on time because I love God. And I love people, and I want to show respect for their time too. And then there's you other people. And Lord, now, being late is not immoral, but it's nuts, okay? And I got a friend, literally has never been on time in their entire life. And when they're due somewhere, I get a text, oh, 5 minutes out, and they're in Zimbabwe. Okay. Like, you've never been on time, and the late people always have the same excuses. It's the car, it's the kids, it's the traffic, it's the dog, and they don't even have dogs. And Jesus, it says, is 4 days late, and we don't even get the excuse, like there was a camel jam on the highway. We don't get that. Jesus is just late. And I want to ask you one question here. If you're Mary and Martha in this moment, and Jesus doesn't show up to the funeral, does it seem that Jesus cares? Yes or no? No. No. Because Jesus didn't even show up. And not only that, there's passages of scriptures like with the centurion's son, Jesus' fame spread abroad that he didn't even have to show up, that he could have spoken a word. And Jesus didn't speak that word. So he didn't show up, and he didn't speak the word. Does it seem like Jesus really cares at this moment if you're Mary and Martha? And no. I mean, and here's the significance of it. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And 4 days is really significant in Jewish literature, because in Jewish literature, they believed that the spirit left the body on the third day. So on the fourth day, there's no hope at all. And when there's no hope, everybody is devastated here. Everybody shows up. But y'all, there's no hope, but Jesus does show up. And the reason that matters is because I'm willing to bet that there's some people here today that are going through some things. You're dealing with some issues. You've asked God to help. You've asked Jesus to show up, and he hasn't shown up, or he hasn't done what you ask him to do, and you're starting to feel like maybe he doesn't care. And I get it. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're human. Because people wrestle with this stuff, but Jesus does show up, and he's 4 days late. Let's pick up with verse 18, because John kind of tweaks it just a little bit. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long. Y'all, that's less than 2 miles away. Man, that's not even a day trip. That's a half a day trip. That's an hour walk. You know, he was so close, but he didn't show up. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha. Presumably that was from Jerusalem itself. Many of the Jews came, but not Jesus. 4 days late. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now, I talked about two kinds of people being those that are on time and those late, but there's other kinds of people, different types of people with different preferences, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's morning people who wake up in the morning and they sing, "Good morning, Mr. Sunshine." And then there's the night owls who hate the morning people. there's sectional eaters. Let me explain that. You know, there's those people that when they have a plate, they'll section off everything. Well, I'll get the broccoli here, I'll get the beans here, I'll get the barbecue here, and they shan't touch, and I will section off my food, but because you want to save the best for last. But then there's those people who just mix it all up together. The psychos. But seriously, we all have different preferences. We all have things we don't like, and we all deal with pain differently. Just like your section leaders, just like you morning people, we all deal with things differently, and every single person in this room knows what it's like to hurt, and not just physically, but spiritually as well. And one of the worst things in the world is when we get over our pain and somebody else we're close to is not over their pain yet. But pain is a process. And getting through the process of pain looks very different for every single one of us. Verse 20, let's see how it looks for Martha getting over the pain. And then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now, on the surface, kind of looks like Martha's the good guy and Mary's the bad guy because she stayed behind, but that's not true. In fact, later we're going to talk about something that Mary did that actually is an act of worship that's still being talked about 2,000 years later, and it was Mary that performed the act of worship. Here, right now, in the story, Martha is the one that had to get into the presence of Jesus, but not for the reason we think. Mary's like, I'm not ready. And I say that because there are those who know what your next step is. Martha knew, I want to go see Jesus, but Mary sat in the house. There is those of you who know what your next step is, and you need to take your situation, and you've really been wrestling with the, I'm just not, you need to address that situation, but you're really wrestling with the, I'm just not ready yet. And I get it. I tend to shut down when I have pain. Because I'm a child of the 60s and the 70s. And for those of y'all that were raised in the 60s and the 70s, y'all remember when we had not only hurricane drills and tornado drills, but we had nuclear bomb drills. Y'all remember what they made us do in first, second, third grade? Go out in the hall, sit against the wall, and duck up in a little ball like this, like that's going to protect you from nuclear radiation. Now I'm thinking about it. It really wouldn't have protected, because we go out from the safety of a classroom into a hall where all the glass was, and that's safer? Nuts. Anyway, everybody knows what their next step is, and some people are just like, I'm not ready yet. They're sitting there. They're just curled up like a ball, and I get it. And it doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're human. And just ask Jesus if you're one of those people to prepare you for the next step in his time, because he always will. He always comes through. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now, that's what we in the South call smack talk. If he had been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And this was kind of like, I can't believe you didn't come, but I still think you're kind of cool. It's kind of like what we refer to as catching yourself. Oh, he's so stupid. Bless his heart. You know, you just kind of catch yourself and pull it back, and that's what Martha's doing now. Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of the Lord, he'll give it to you. And here's the thing I love about Martha. And Martha goes to Jesus, and she is 100% honest. She's not just blowing smoke. She's legit. She didn't say, Jesus, you know, I will praise you in the storm. They've got that song out on the fish right now, I'll praise you in the storm. And that's a cool song. And there's a lot of people that like to posture and say, oh, yeah, I'll just praise Jesus in the storm. But what I find in my years on this earth is that people that say that are not in the middle of the storm. Because when you're in the middle of the storm, when you're out there on the golf course and the lightning come and the hell is falling and it's bad, you get out of the storm and you get the safety. And we saw that with the disciples too when the storm came on the lake, you know, and the winds and the waves were very violent. It says that they were scared. It wasn't that they, we worship you. They were scared. I'll praise you in the storm. Well, you're not in a storm right now. And here Martha is, and she's being 100% honest. And I just want to kind of marinate on that a second. Because for Jesus to really work in our life, it's so much easier when we're 100% honest and not fake. And so Martha is taking her pain to Jesus, and she's being 100% honest. I wish I could praise him in the storm. I want to get better at that. I wish I could, but even the disciples had problems with it. And you remember in Matthew chapter 14 when the storm was coming, the boat was rocking, and it looked like they were about to sink. Fear all over the place. Same thing going on right here, and it's insane. And that brings up a kind of another point. Because I am about, I will praise him in the storm. I want to get to that. And there are moments when we can. I remembered when my father died that the first things out of my mouth were, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And I could say that intellectually. But in my heart, I was devastated. And I would just keep saying that in my head. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And there are people that will look down on those who can't fake it. And I'm not interested in faking it. Because those people didn't go through the storm that I went through. Those people were not in the fight that I was in. Those people were not going through the hell that I was going through. So part of the miracle that we're seeing right here, part of the miracle is not just Lazarus being raised from the dead, it was that Martha was honest. And Martha was honest enough with Jesus, and she didn't show up with some pithy saying that you can find on a Christian coffee cup. She said, you know what, Jesus, I'm upset. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. She got real, she got vulnerable, and ultimately it's the foundation for what we're about to see. And when we stop playing games with God, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. That's what Martha did. You didn't do what I wanted you to do, but I still think, you know, you're kind of cool. Verse 23. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And most of us know what's going to happen next in the story, but John had not been written by the time this event was taking place. We know that Lazarus is going to come back from the dead, but Martha didn't. Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. That is an unbelievable declaration because in Martha's mind, they're in the fourth day, and it's impossible. And there's no way that's going to happen. And I feel like maybe there's somebody in church or online right now that you're staring down a situation and you feel like the situation is impossible. But anytime we think that something is impossible, we need to remember that we serve a God that brings the dead things back to life. Jesus himself went to the cross and was raised 3 days later. And Martha just doesn't get it, but she's trying to believe. And she's trying to kind of get involved in the conversation here. Verse 24, Martha said, I know. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, yeah. I know he's going to raise again when everybody else is raised again at the last day. She didn't understand what Jesus was about to do. And this is one of the reasons I would ask everyone here, everyone online, to consider following Christ. Taking that next step, whatever that next step is, because his ways are really better than our ways. His understanding is higher than our understanding. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And he can do things in our life that we don't even know are possible. But in his hands, it's just normal. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, and oh, by the way, this is present tense. This is not future opportunity. This is present tense. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have you ever been in a situation talking to somebody and you didn't know who they were? This is Martha's situation. She knows she's talking to Jesus, but she really didn't know who she was talking to. And Martha's like, yeah, he's going to live again. One day, I'm sure it's going to happen. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Right now. Like, what you think doesn't exist now, well, it actually does exist. And it's not one day. It's today. And maybe one of the biggest things we have to get past in Christianity is we become a Christian, we start to follow Christ, and then we have this bizarre idea that we need to be miserable, and then we die, and then it all gets better. But Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He's given us eternal life. But when we take that step, when we make that tag, when we come to him, abundant life is available. And this is what Martha was doing. She was coming up to the Lord, and she was being as vulnerable as she could be. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. And then he said, and whosoever liveth and believeth, Those are present tense. Whoever lives and believes shall never die. Believest thou this? That is a direct question. Do you believe these things, Martha? And I can almost imagine Jesus making eye contact with her. Do you believe these things, Martha? And watch what she says, verse 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Did she answer the question, yes or no? No. No, thank you, Senator Martha. This is what you would expect somebody who didn't answer the question. I don't know what it's like to be in as tense a situation, you know, but and sometimes we just start talking. Well, Martha says, you know, yeah, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come in the world. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? And she said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the God, which should come into the world. She didn't answer the question. And we can't get mad at her because we're standing right beside a tomb. And somebody that we love is in the tomb. And Jesus is saying, yeah, he's going to live again. And none of us are thinking, yeah, right now, let's go, let's do it. But can you see what Martha is fighting on? She's trying to hang on to her faith. She's trying to hang on. But it gets better because we know what happens to Martha. And she returned to Mary. And the Bible says in verse 28, and when she had so said, in other words, she said these things, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. In other words, she's on the down low. She's not announcing it way out loud. She said, the master's come and calleth for thee. This right here. Now, if we take scripture for scripture, it doesn't say that Jesus called for Mary. But it says that Martha reached out to Mary. I'm so thankful for the Cheesecake Factory. The other day, I know y'all like, dude, man, his brain. Other day, I'm getting some texts. My phone's blown up with these texts. Friends have gone out to lunch at the Cheesecake Factory, the Mall of Georgia, and they're sending me food pictures, which, thank you so much. Finally, I got the beloved text. Which one do you want? Thank you, the sugar-free one. And it was like, and they brought me a piece of cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory, and it was wonderful. And I thought about that when I was in this text right here, because it's so cool that Mary has this experience with Jesus. And does Martha get her questions answered? No. Did Jesus make her a promise? Yes. Does she believe the promise? No. And there's nothing really positive that happens in Martha's life when she encounters Jesus on that kind of surface level, but beneath the surface of Martha, there was something kindled. And during that connection she was having with the Lord, if we take verse 28, we can say in her mind, it's like, I cannot just waste this moment on myself. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And he said it in such a way as it is real today. I'm going to get my sister to share in this moment. And the reason I want to bring this up is because every single one of us in this room has made some spiritual progress in our life, and we did so because somebody else stepped into our story. Someone else stepped into our lives and invited us to take that next step. I say that because healing does not take place apart from relationship. Nobody has grown themselves by themselves closer to God. Nobody has healed themselves by themselves without relationship. And if we're going to grow in our relationship with Christ, if we're going to be healed in our relationship with Christ, it's going to take a Martha stepping into our lives saying this, you know what? I don't have all the answers. I'm hurting too. And I know you're hurting, but I know a man, and his name is Jesus. And if we can just get in front of him, I don't know how he's going to solve the problems. But I know that when I'm with him and in his presence, I really do experience a peace that passeth understanding. Let's go hang out with Jesus. And there are people here today, and you need healing because you're in pain. But y'all, the healing doesn't take part apart from relationship. And it doesn't. Every single one of us needs to know that. And when I tell you that healing doesn't take part from relationship, I'm talking about real, genuine relationship. Where I'm talking about people who show up and are not fake. And let me promise you something. Fake people don't experience healing. And the reason we're fake is because if we're real, people might freak out. But I'm telling you, one of these days, when I pass, man, if I have five people who know the real me and love me, I'd rather have that than 1,000 people who don't know anything about me and sing my praises. Real relationships bring healing and growth. And there's so many people that allow other people on social media who have digital courage to define who you are. They don't know the battles you fought. They don't know the hell that you've been through. They don't know what you wake up to and face every day. So why in the world would you let these people define you? You need to block them, throw them off of your feed. Martha didn't go by Mary and say, hey, man, I got it all figured out. Because one of the things I know is people that have it all figured out, people who want to fix you, if you don't do exactly what they tell you to do, they'll tell other people how broken you are. And here Martha is, and she's messed up, and she's jacked up, and she goes and she gets Mary. And Martha says, you know what, Mary? I don't have all the answers, but I think you need to come see Jesus. And there's the other thing in order. We don't have to have all the answers because none of us do. And I love what the Bible says in verse 30. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there hastily, because people always think they know what we're doing. So they followed her. Verse 32, and then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, here it is, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Obviously, Mary and Martha had talked about this. They had arrived at the same conclusion that Jesus was not able, but Mary did something different than Martha. And I'd read this for years. Mary fell down at his feet, and I thought, yeah, you know, that's what you do when you're in grief. But really, when you look back on the Bible, the act of falling down at someone's feet is an act of worship. They're both ill. They're both in pain. But don't miss this. Mary, the Bible says, fell at his feet. And that is a sign of trust and submission. And she gets to Jesus, and she just falls on at his feet. And she's honest. She's vulnerable. She's real, which sets up this foundation. And she falls at it, and she says, Lord, if you had only been here. In other words, if you had done what we had asked you to do, we could have escaped this pain. My brother wouldn't have died. Verse 33, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came within her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And he asked them, and they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? In other words, Jesus is saying, basically, take me to the place where you lost your faith. Take me to the place where you lost your faith. And Jesus, if you notice, he didn't rebuke them for losing their faith. He just says, take me there. And that's the walk away that I'm praying for everybody here today, is that you will hear the voice of God saying, take me to that place where you lost your faith. Take me to that place of intense pain that you're struggling with. And make the tag. Because you're fighting a battle you don't have to fight. And in my mind, I believe he'll say, I'm going to take care of things in my own time. And we can still have hope. And we can still have that joy just by turning it over to Jesus. If you'd like to follow him as we do here at Camp Creek Church, we'll give you that chance as we stand to sing hymn number 452. We'll open the doors of the church for the reception of members.